I got a home in that rock, don't you see? I got a home in that rock, don't you see? Way between the earth and sky, thought I heard my Savior cry. Better get a home in that rock, don't you see? Poor old Lazarus, poor as high, don't you see? Poor old Lazarus, poor as high, don't you see? Poor old Lazarus, poor as high, when he died, he had a home on high. He had a home in that rock, don't you see? Christ is coming back to earth, don't you see? Christ is coming back to earth, don't you see? Christ is coming back to earth, have you had the second birth? You better get a home in that rock, don't you see? You better get a home in that rock, don't you see? You better get a home in that rock, don't you see?
Thank you, Steve. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis 37. And tonight, as we begin the study of Joseph, we're going to do a little bit of a summary of the life of Joseph. So we're going to go very quickly through the end of the book just to kind of give you an overview. Then we're going to come back and kind of fill in some gaps and emphasize some other things. So if you'll follow along quickly with me as we look at Joseph from the pit to the palace. Remember, his brothers sold him into slavery. We've been going through Genesis, and Joseph was born when Jacob, right before he left for Canaan. And so he was just a newborn child when he left, and he was 17 years old whenever he was sold into slavery by his brothers. And so we're going to begin by looking at sold and betrayed while serving his father. Here he is at home. He's a son, and at age 17, he would be serving his father, working for him. And we're going to just flip through and see quite a few verses there. Chapter 37, verse 2, right at the second line says, Joseph being 17 years old. And so that kind of sets the stage for his age there. And God was with him, it tells us in chapter 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, there. And so God was with him and made him to prosper. And while he was there in the house of his master, verse 3 says, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. As you've heard the expression, everything he touches turns to gold. Well, that's the way it was with Joseph, but it wasn't because of who Joseph was. God had really blessed him, and his master knew that God was with him there. It was evident to others that Joseph was walking with God. And that's what God wants from us too, for others to know that we are walking with God, that God is with us. And then we see in chapter 39, verse 5, it came to pass at the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And so here's Potiphar, the Egyptian, and he has been blessed of God for Joseph's sake. And so it's starting to rub off, as we say, even other people. So the blessings to Joseph are coming so great, and they're overflowing even to people around him. And as we look at the story of Joseph, Joseph is a type of Christ. And so when we look at a lot of the things of Joseph in his life, it will picture to us the things of Christ. And then though we're not types of Christ, we should be following Christ, and the ways of our lives, the way we live, should also reflect Christ himself, even as Joseph did. In chapter 39, verse 6, it tells us at the last part of the verse, Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And so God had blessed him, and he was a faithful son. His brothers didn't like him because he was favored and had the coat of many colors. He had the dream, that one day they were going to bow down to him there, and they resented all of that, and they sold him into slavery. But he was still faithful and serving his father, and he was goodly and well favored. Then we see in chapter 39, verses 8 and 9, it says, "But he refused. He said unto his master's wife," this is Potiphar's wife, when she tried to entice him and seduce him, he said, "Behold, my master wotteth," or "knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And so he knew that sin was a serious thing. And when if he were to sin, he would not just be sinning against Potiphar and his wife, but he would be sinning against God himself, because all sin is against God Almighty there. And Joseph was aware of this. So he not only knew the seriousness of sin, he had self-control as well. In verse 10, it says, "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day." Every day this woman was trying to entice him and get him to sin. It says that he hearkened not unto her. Remember the story of Adam and Eve? Adam did hearken unto his wife. And he hearkened unto the temptation of the serpent there. And he didn't have the self-control. But here is Joseph day by day. And Potiphar wasn't there. And most people would be thinking, "Well, boy, here's an opportunity. I can do this thing and get away with it." But Joseph knew that we never get away with it. God is always watching. And he demonstrated self-control. The next thing we see that he did while he was faithful in his serving, at the end of verse 10, it says, not only did he hearken not unto her to lie by her, it says, or to be with her. And in Romans 13:14, as I've referenced on the screen there, the Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. And so here he knew that he didn't want to put himself in a situation that would cause him to sin. If a person gets saved and he's been an alcoholic and he wants to give up the liquor or the beer, and if he has it in his refrigerator, in his cabinet, and if he leaves it there, that's making provision for the flesh. So he has to get rid of it there. And so Joseph has made no provision for the flesh. And so here he is, he's sold and betrayed, and we see the consequences of that, the outcome. But now we see that he's accused and he's victimized, and now he's serving his master. He's doing what's right. His wife, Potiphar's wife, has tried to entice him, but he has rejected. And at the first he was serving at home. Now he's serving his master. Remember, he's a type of Christ. So wherever we see him, we're going to see him serving. Jesus said, "I came not to be ministered unto." I didn't come to be served, but I came to be a servant. I came to minister. And Joseph was ministering at home. Now he's ministering there in the palace, serving his master. And while he's doing that, verse 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And so now, because Potiphar's wife has accused Joseph, he's guilty, and so he's been cast into prison. But here he is in prison, and while he's in prison, he is still remaining faithful to the Lord. Verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it there. And so we see him at home, we see him in the palace, we see him in prison. Wherever he is, he's serving. Wherever he is, he's faithful there. And then we saw earlier that God had blessed Potiphar because the blessings of Joseph was just overflowing. We see that trait continuing in chapter 39, verse 21. It says that God gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In verse 22, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And so now the jailer is being blessed because of Joseph. There's a song that we sing, make me a channel of blessing today. And that's what Joseph was. He was a channel of blessing. Potiphar's house was blessed because of Joseph. Now we see that the jailer is blessed because of Joseph. And God was with him, even as he was before. And once again, we see that the Lord was with him and prospered him in chapter 39, verse 23. The keeper of the prison, he looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper there. And so God had a plan and a purpose. And Joseph was sold into slavery, and Joseph obviously had no idea what in the Lord had in mind for him by allowing his brothers to sell him into slavery. But God was with him, and God blessed him. God blessed those others around him, and everything he touched, God blessed it, and God was proving himself to Joseph that he had a plan for him. We also see while he's there in chapter 40, verse 6, that he was sensitive to the needs of others. Remember the butler and the baker there in prison. And verse 6, Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and he looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And so, isn't that like Jesus? As Joseph is a type, that Jesus looks on those that are needy and hurting, and he sees that they're sad. And so he asked, verse 7, he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said to him, we've dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to the Lord there? And so we see not only was he sensitive to the needs of others, but he gave honor and glory to God. He said, God's the one who interprets dreams. If you want to know what God has for you, God can give the answer. And Daniel did the same thing. Whenever they tried to uplift Daniel and give him credit, he said, God's the one that gives the answer to the dream. And remember the dream that the butler and the baker had? The butler had the dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream, and in 3 days, you're going to be restored. And the baker heard that and said, oh yeah, that sounds good. How about tell me about my dream? And Joseph said, in 3 days, your head's going to be cut off, you know? And so it wasn't exactly quite the dream that the butler had. And so another thing we see about Joseph, he spoke the truth. Whether it was good news or bad news there. It was good news for the butler. It was bad news for the baker. And we saw in Jeremiah this morning and in the chapters before that, Jeremiah was one that spoke the truth of the Word of God, whether the people wanted to hear it, whether they liked it, whether it was going to get him cast into prison. And of course, Jeremiah was thrown in a dungeon because of his preaching there. But here's Joseph. God had given him the answer, and he told the butler, and he told the baker. Verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And he goes to tell the dream, and we'll look at this in more detail when we come back and start filling in some of the gaps here. But I want us to get this overview tonight. So he speaks the truth, whether it's good or bad. So we've seen that he was sold and betrayed while serving his father. We've seen that he was accused and victimized while serving his master. Now we move on and we see that he was forgotten and abandoned while serving the keeper of the prison. And verse 23, it says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." And so, of course, the baker had died, the butler was restored, and he went back up to Pharaoh's house, but he forgot about Joseph there. And here, Joseph is still in prison, and he's still faithfully doing what he's been appointed to do. And so it's time, once the butler remembers about Joseph, it's time to bring Joseph back out to the king. So in chapter 41 and verse 14, when Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, he changed his raiment, and he came in unto Pharaoh. And so if you look back up to verse 1 of chapter 41, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. And so the butler is out of prison and 2 years has passed. And Joseph is still like a Timex, you know, just keeps on ticking and keeps on doing what he's supposed to be doing. And spiritually, he's still strong. Physically, he's still strong. And opportunity comes for him to go before the king. And he was not going to go before a king dirty, grungy. So he puts on his Sunday best, he shaves, he gets ready, because he's going into the presence of a king. Don't we see that often in Scripture, in the Old Testament, whenever they're going into the presence of a king? And so we certainly make the application, whenever we're going into the very presence of God, we're going into the King of Kings, and we need to be clean, and Christ with his blood cleanses us so we can approach him. Well, Joseph comes after 2 years there, and we see, just like Jesus was humble, in chapter 41, verse 15, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I've dreamed a dream, and there's none that can interpret it. But I've heard of say of thee that thou canst." And so he has a chance now to build up himself when the king says, "Joseph, nobody else can do this, but I heard you can." And Joseph could have used that as an opportunity to buy himself out of prison or gain some favor of the king. But that's not Joseph. He's a man who speaks the truth and gives honor to God. In verse 16, he answered Pharaoh and he said, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And so we see his humility. He recognizes that, yes, God has made him to prosper. Everything he touches turns to gold, and God has blessed those around him. But Joseph was spiritual enough. I started to say smart enough, but it didn't have anything to do with smartness. He was spiritual enough to know that it was God's doing. It wasn't his doing. And that's what humility is all about, knowing that it's God who does that. If God uses us for anything while we're serving him, whether we're sold and paid, whether we are accused and victimized, whether we're forgotten and abandoned, if God uses us, it's because he is doing the work and not ourselves. Well, he also knew something about the future. In chapter 41, verse 25, Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." And we'll look at the dream more when we get into chapter 41 in detail. But he knew something about the future. And God has revealed to us some things about the future. Now, there are some things that we would really like to know that God has chosen not to reveal to us. But we do know some things. We know about the tribulation. We know about the millennial kingdom. We know about the marriage supper of the Lamb. We know about some things in heaven. God has been pleased to reveal some things about the future to us. And he had revealed it to Joseph. And now Joseph says, Pharaoh, I'm going to tell you what God has in store for the future. Well, he tells about the dream that Potiphar had. Remember the dream where he saw the seven fat cows and the seven sickly cows, and then he saw the seven good ears of corn, and then the seven bad ears of corn. And Joseph goes and interprets the dream, and he tells him that this is going to be 7 years of plenty, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And he had a plan for facing difficult situations. In chapter 41, 33. Now, therefore, Joseph said, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt, because someone needed to have some vision. Somebody needed to have some integrity, some wisdom. And of course, Joseph, being the humble man that he was, he didn't say, hey, I'll do this for you. But he told Potiphar, the Pharaoh, what kind of man he needed. And we know that he was this kind of man himself. So in verse 38, Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. What a compliment. But it was because he evidenced the Spirit of God in his life. It wasn't Joseph. It was God's Holy Spirit working through him. Verse 38 says, can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And when the Spirit of God is predominant in a person's life, he's going to be discreet and he's going to be wise. Discernment of the Word of God and skill in interpreting and applying the Word of God comes from being Spirit-led. And Joseph was a man who was Spirit-led. Well, we also see that he was promoted. Though he had been forgotten and abandoned, in verse 41, Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. So he places him over all of that, and now Joseph is 30 years old. You can see that in verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. So he was 17 when he was sold into slavery, and now he is 30, 13 years later. And God has given him children before the 7 years of famine came, and so he was 37 when the famine came, because he's 30 now when he's telling this dream to Pharaoh. So another 7 years, and so been 20 years from the time he's 17 to the time he's 37, and the famine has begun in chapter 41, verse 53. The 7 years of dearth began to come according as Joseph had said. The dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread there. And his brothers came to him during this time, and he remembered the dreams of his youth, and we'll see some of that as we get into chapter 42. But now we go and we see that he is elevated and he's honored while serving as governor. In chapter 42, verse 6, Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And remember, of course, they didn't know who Joseph was. It had been 20 years. He was 17 when he left. And now 20 years later, and he's changed and has a new language there, and he's serving as governor. But as we look at Joseph and how he pictures the life of Christ, he was tender-hearted. I want you to see how he wept. Seven times here in these verses, we're going to see the tender-heartedness of Joseph, who is a picture of Christ. In chapter 42, verse 21, it says, they said to one another, that's his brother speaking here, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. therefore is this distress come upon us? And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept there. And so whenever he heard his brothers confessing to each other, for 20 years his brothers had lived with this guilt that they sold him into slavery and then lied to their father. And all this time, his father thought that they were dead. They're living in guilt, and Joseph sees them and he weeps, has tender heart towards them. Then in chapter 43, his brother Benjamin, he has opportunity there to see him. In verse 29, he lifted up his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and he said, Is this your younger brother of whom you spake to me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep. He entered into the chamber and he wept there. So he wept whenever he heard his brothers confessing their sin. He wept when he saw his brother Joseph. And then whenever he revealed his identity to his brothers in chapter 45, verses 1 and 2. At the end of verse 1, it says, Joseph made himself known to his brethren, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And so here again, he is tender-hearted when he reveals himself. Well, he sends his brothers back to their father in chapter 45, verse 13. He said, Ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that you've seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father here. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and he wept upon them. And once again, we see his tenderness as he's sending back his brothers to give a message to his father. We see a fifth time his tender heart in chapter 46 and verse 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot. He went up to meet Israel, his father, Jacob, whose name had been changed to Israel, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck a good while. I mean, I guess he did, didn't he? 20 years he hadn't seen his father. His father thought that he had died. And Joseph sees his father, and they both are weeping together. Then his father died in chapter 50, in verses 1 and 2. And of course, Joseph fell upon his father's face, and he wept upon him and kissed him and told the physicians to embalm his father there. And he's weeping at the death of his father. And then in chapter 50, the seventh and final time, we see the tenderheartedness of Joseph in verse 17. So shall you say to Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, when they were asking for forgiveness. And you see over and over and over again, a man who could have been so hardened, so resentful, so bitter, but yet he's tenderhearted. And you look at Christ and all that they did to him when they crucified him and they plucked his beard and they spat on him and they mocked him and they called him illegitimate and they did all of those things. And Jesus, like Joseph, or Joseph like Jesus, tenderhearted, forgiving, and he wept there. Well, we see another thing about Joseph. Not only was he tenderhearted, but he was generous in chapter 42, back up a little bit. And we will see his generosity as he's sending his brothers back in verse 25. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way. And thus he did unto them. So he was very generous. He was giving out of a generous heart. And God tells us to give cheerfully. Joseph is not giving back to them grudgingly. I guess from a human perspective, if anybody had a reason to hold a grudge, it would be Joseph, but he didn't. He was giving generously and cheerfully there. We already saw his forgiveness there. He's 39 years old in chapter 45, verses 5 through 8, whenever he forgives his brothers for what they've done. It says, "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." Joseph saw the big picture. And oftentimes we miss the big picture. We see what's going on in the hearing now. But Joseph is realizing that God had a plan for his brothers selling him into slavery and being separated from his father for those 20 years. And he is forgiving them. And he's 39 years old now. 22 years has passed. And we see him ministering to his family in verse 45, verses 10 and 11. He's not just ministering to the nation and those that are under him in the kingdom. It says, "And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, thy children's children, thy flocks and herds, all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee." And so he's going to take care of his family. And by time this happens here, he is 58 years old. You can see that in chapter 47, verse 28 here. 58 years old, from 17 to 58, 31 years has passed. And we see finally that he has faith in God and faith in God's working. And probably the most well-known verse ending Joseph's life is chapter 50, verse 20. Where he says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." And so he had faith in God. He had faith in God's working through all of these things through being sold and betrayed, through being accused and victimized, through being forgotten and abandoned, through being elevated and honored. He saw God at work. And we see at the end of the book, he died, the last verse of the book, being 110 years old there. And so that's 93 years after he had been sold into slavery, placed in the pit. And so one of the lessons we learn from the life of Joseph is that we can't control what other people do to us. We can't control all the circumstances around us, but we can control our response to those things. And Joseph was a man in whom the Spirit of God dwelt, and his response to all of these things was honoring to the Lord. He was sold and betrayed while serving his father. He was accused and victimized while serving his master. He was forgotten and abandoned while serving in prison. He was elevated and honored while serving as governor. And so one thing we learn from the life of Joseph that we do as we begin our study of Joseph is you serve God wherever you are, whatever you're doing. That's what Joseph did, wherever he was, whatever he was doing. And it wasn't all roses for him, for sure, there. But he served God wherever he was and whatever he was doing. And as we come to the end of his life, the names of his two sons summarize his life. Remember when we looked at the life of Leah many chapters back and how she named her children there and gave honor to the Lord? Look at the sons of Joseph in chapter 41, verses 51 and 52. God had given him these two sons. And in verse 51, I'll get to it in just a minute. Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God, he said, made me forget my toil and my father's house. So he named his first son Forgotten, and he named his second son Fruitful, Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction there. And so his testimony at the end of his life was, oh, I wasn't forgotten. I might have been forgotten by my father. He thought I was dead. My brothers didn't care for me. But I was not forgotten by God. And he touched my life and he made it fruitful. Because one thing Joseph did, wherever he was, whatever he was doing, he served God. And it doesn't matter what career, what occupation, what state, what city, where we live, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can serve God. Joseph did, and may that be an inspiration and a testimony for us to continue serving God and being faithful as Joseph was. Let's